My name's Philip. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm the pastor here at Vertical. On behalf of our staff and our leadership, welcome to Vertical Church. Welcome to Easter Sunday. And we're so excited that you are here. And we're in a series right now called Why Jesus? Why Jesus? And we want to explore that question in several different ways. Because sometimes, you know, if you follow Jesus for a long time, maybe we forget some answers to that question, why Jesus? Or maybe that question is why you're here online, or you're in a movie theater, you're in some gym in Morganton, Georgia, because you're asking a question similar to, why Jesus? Why should I follow him? Why should I give my life to him? Why does he apply to my life today? Why? And so I want us to look at a couple different verses today. And the title of the message today, if you want to write that down, some of you, you like the title of the message. Some of you, you won't remember, and that's okay. But the title today is A Change of Heart. A change of heart. And I want us to look at some verses that are maybe not typically associated with Easter. And I hope you'll give some grace for that. We're Vertical Church. We do things a little bit differently from time to time. If you're new here and you stick with us, you'll discover that. We're a little bit different, you know. You're wondering maybe why the pastor is wearing a t-shirt and Converses today. And it's okay. We're going to work through that. And you may not walk away with an answer to that question because I don't know that I've got one. But we hopefully are going to have you walk away with a change of heart a little bit. So Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 is where we're going to be working out of today. Luke chapter 6, and you can turn to your Bible or your Bible app. And if you don't have your Bible, we're going to put the words up on the screen because we believe at this church that the Word of God is alive and it's active. And we want you to be able to read along with these verses because we believe they can apply and pierce to our heart. And this is Jesus talking in verse 43. And he says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so I want to open up by asking one simple question, and it's from last Easter to this Easter, what fruit has been produced in your life? From last Easter to this Easter, what fruit has been produced in your life? The last time you went to an Easter service till right now, what's come out of your life? And you may go, man, I think some pretty good things. Or you may be going, I can't believe it's already been a year. I can't believe it's been a year since my last Easter service. Or I can't believe it's already been that. Or you can't go, I can't really believe what's coming out of my life. It's not who I thought I was. It's not who I saw myself becoming. It's not the expectation I had for my life. When I look at my fruit, it's not what I wanted. And you're a little bit disappointed, or maybe you're a little bit frustrated. But as we look at this, I think we should evaluate what Jesus said. Because here's what I'll tell you. I think most people are trying to do the best they can. I genuinely believe that. And I really do believe it until I go read online commentary sections of people replying back to news articles. And then my faith is shaken a little bit that everyone's trying to do the best they can. You know what I'm saying? And some of you are like, online news commentaries. If you don't know about them, don't go there. Yeah, you're not missing anything. You're okay. But I think most people are trying to do the best they can. And I do believe people can fake good fruit for a little bit. I think people can fake good fruit for a little bit. But I think at the end of the day, you begin to be exhausted because you're producing something you're not really capable of having. And see, here's the thing is, you can go to church for 50 years and try to learn how to produce fake fruit. You can watch how other people live and you can try to just produce that. You can watch other people. But here's the thing, Jesus is saying good fruit doesn't come from other people. It doesn't come from mimicking other people. It doesn't come from mimicking a pastor. It doesn't come from any of that. Jesus is saying good fruit comes from one thing alone, and that's from a good heart. And see, Jesus is teaching this, and Jesus is going to go on and tell us there's only one person who can change our heart, and it's him. And Jesus is trying to say if you want good fruit to come out of your life, it's got to come from a transformed heart. It can't come from the best you can do. It can't come from your best of intentions. It can't come from being a pretty good person. None of that's going to produce good fruit, according to Jesus. Jesus says, if you want good fruit to come out of your life, It comes from a transformed heart. And so I want to ask, since last Easter till now, has anything changed in your heart? Has anything changed in your heart? Has anything been transformed? And I'm not talking to you if you've never followed Jesus before. I'm talking to people who've been coming to church for 50 years. What's different about your heart now from last Easter? Because I believe God continually wants to do a new thing in our life. He wants to continually make us more and more like him. He doesn't want you to look exactly the same as last Easter. And in all honesty, some of you, when you come to church, can we just be honest? You know, I want to talk to some people who aren't really Christians or you're new Christians. You ever have friends who are like on Facebook and stuff, and you get around Easter and you're like, I don't know what's up with these Christians. They post the same stuff every year. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't want to nod your head, but it's happening. And you're kind of wondering, I keep getting on Facebook and the Christians keep posting every year on Sunday, he's risen, like they're surprised. And you're like, I got to tell the Christians, if they found out last year he's risen, then scientifically he's still not there. And you want to help the Christians. You're like, I don't think they get it. I'm confused. They're in this perpetual loop. But see, here's the thing. It's not that we're surprised every year. It's that we want to make sure we never forget. Because here's the thing. The cross is really important to Christianity. If you're not a Christian, I want you to know that. The cross is so important to Christianity. Because Jesus went to the cross after living a perfect life to pay the price for your sin and my sin. But the tomb, I argue, is even more important than the cross. Because Jesus, while he was living, said, humanity in their sin is going to kill me. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. And see, an empty tomb means Jesus is who he says he is, which is a radical thing for humanity, all of humanity. If Jesus is who he says he is, then it means radical things for our life. It means those things that deep down you hate about yourself, Jesus has grace for. It means that moment when you realized how washed in your sin you were, that empty tomb means there's somebody who can still forgive all of it. And the empty tomb means everything for someone who follows Jesus. Because every year, that empty tomb is a reminder that I was dead in my sin. There was no hope for me. There was no trying to be good enough. There was no trying to produce good fruit on my own. There was none of that. I had one hope. And it was that the tomb was empty because Jesus had risen from the dead and had the power and authority to forgive my sin. Anything else we try to make Easter into is just kind of become religious. But at the heart of it, it's an empty tomb where Jesus is still alive and has the power and authority to forgive all of your sin. You could be 74 years old today, and you could have lived 74 years totally for yourself. You could walk in and go, I'll admit, I've bared bad fruit for 74 years. But an empty tomb means that your life could still change today. You could live 74 years of some of the worst stuff in all of humanity, and an empty tomb means your life could transform today. That's why we get excited. Because really, at the core of it, it should be every Easter, people who follow Jesus being so excited and so thankful that we had somewhere else to place our hope than in ourselves. Because every person who follows Jesus should have this realization about what he's talking about in Luke 6, that if I tried to produce good fruit on my own, there's no hope. I could maybe fake it for a while, but eventually what's going to come out of my heart is something other than good fruit. Because the only way that's going to happen is if Jesus transforms my heart. And see, here's the thing, Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to be a good person. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead so that you could be a transformed person. And I think somewhere along the lines, our best intentions of looking to be a good person has kind of woven into our identity that that's good enough. And I'm here to tell you, according to the Bible and what Jesus said, that's not. Being a good person is not going to get you into heaven. Being a good person is not going to ultimately bear you good fruit. It's a transformed heart. And it comes from Jesus alone. And I want you to keep looking at what he says after verse 45, and I believe reading the Bible in its context is so important. And Jesus tells us in 43, verse 45, about being someone who produces good fruit, but I want us to look at what he says in verse 46. He says in verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck the house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man. It's like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." And so the second question I want to ask is different than the first. The first question I asked was, what's different from last Easter to this Easter? Like, what's good fruit, what's bad fruit, what's come out of your life this past year? My second question is, what do you want to be different? What do you want to be different about your life come next Easter? Because here's the thing, whether you're a Christian, you're not a Christian, Lord willing, you're going to be here next Easter. But what's going to be different about your life? I mean, you could have heard 75 Easter messages, but not a single one's changed your life. You could come to every church service, every single Sunday, hear what's taught, hear what's said. But if you don't apply it, it's never going to change your life. You could come to church every time the doors are open, and you still build your house on the sand rather than the rock. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. He's like, don't do that. He's like, hear what I say and then apply it to your life. And if I'm being honest, have you done that this past year? And do you want to do it this coming year? Because if what comes out of our heart is what bears fruit, I want to ask, what's in your heart today? What's in your heart today? And if you're honest, is it sorrow? Is it pain? Is it joy? Is it love? Is it loneliness? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves as humanity, has the past 2 years not been hard? Has it not been difficult? Has it not been trying? Has it not been something that's been pressing down deep into who you are? I don't want to come up here and pretend that the past 2 years isn't hard. I don't want to pretend that you can't walk into a church or join online and you don't have something that's deep in your heart that's troubling you. But I do want to ask, do you want that to change? I'm not going to pretend that you can't walk into a church and something in your heart is hurting. But I do want to ask, do you want that to change? Maybe you've walked in today and it's out of some kind of obligation. Like, in all honesty, you're like, it's Easter, I live in North Georgia or somewhere else, and I know I'm kind of supposed to go to church on Easter. Like, if we're just honest with ourselves, right? Like, if you want to be posting on Instagram or Facebook and you want to be anything or anybody getting likes today, you better be in your Easter outfit today. Or all of social media is going to be like, shame. Shame to you. You know, they're emailing Mark Zuckerberg, and they're like, I want a dislike button. That person wasn't in their Easter best. Not only that, I showed up to some church, and this dude's Easter best was a T-shirt. Wasn't even tucked in. What a schlub. But then I think when it comes down to it, Easter's really about what Jesus said and what Jesus has done. And does it change who we are? And so you can show up to church, you could ignore church, you could hear what Jesus says, you can try to ignore what Jesus says, but all that really is going to be different between now and next Easter is, did you apply what Jesus says? Because many of us, we can hear what Jesus says, we can show up to a church service, we can watch stuff online now, we can go all kinds of places to listen, but do we apply it? And I think what's really plagued humanity is a lot of people have heard things about Jesus, but very few of us have applied it. I think one of the greatest temptations of humanity is something that I personally really struggle with. I followed Jesus really passionately for 14 years, not been perfect in that. But one of my temptations is I love Jesus so much that I want to prove to him how much I love him. And I want to try to be perfect. And so here's the thing, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that I could have an opportunity to try to prove to him I love him by being perfect. Jesus died on the cross because he knew Philip couldn't be perfect. He died on the cross because he knows you can't be perfect. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." I think sometimes when we put on our Easter best and we come to church, we try to put a little strut in our step and try to act like we got it all together, but really what's on the inside is our heart, it's bearing fruit, and we're trying to keep it in because it's just in pain and it's hurting. And every Easter comes and it goes, and we try to put on this front that it's all okay and we're doing just fine and we're doing the best that we can. And maybe you've been coming to church for a really long time, but somehow you start to feel a little more empty and a little more empty, and you're like, how can that be? I'm trying to go to church. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying. And one of the things that's really rocked me is if you go look, every time Jesus talks to people, and he invites them to come follow him, that's all he says. Just come follow me. Come follow me. And he does tell people, you got to leave some of that stuff behind. Don't bring the sin with you, but just come follow me. Never once did he look at somebody, he says, come follow me, and then run out in front of me and go do the best that you can. But in all honesty, is that not how a lot of times in Christianity that we try to live? We get saved because we know that we're not good enough, and then we try to run in front of Jesus and try to be perfect and do the best that we can, and we're good now. I can control it. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, come follow me. And it's why you can show up to church for 67 years and your heart's completely empty. It's because the one thing Jesus asked, you're not doing. Come follow me. And I think that's really hard, but it's why so many of us can get called out by verse 46, and Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? What Jesus said was really simple, but it's hard for us to do. I'm still working on that. I'm not trying to run in front of Jesus and prove to him how much I love him by how much I can do or the perfection I can try to achieve. I just need to follow him and do what he says. And I know this message can sound a little harsh. It can sound like I'm a little bit up in your grill. And it's because I am. But here's the thing. I'm not here to call you out about your sin. I'm not. I'm here to ask, do you want to be forgiven of your sin? And they're two different things. I don't want to call you out about your sin. I want to ask, do you want to be forgiven of it? Because Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, there's one way for our heart to be transformed. And it's by him. And so from last Easter to this Easter, you could have been striving. You could have been trying to do it all in your strength. You could be trying the best that you can to be this good person. And you're trying to hold it all together, but you feel like, man, my house is made out of popsicle sticks, and I don't know how much longer this can hold. And Jesus goes, that's not how you're supposed to feel. That's not my best for you. In both scenarios, Jesus says, a torrent comes and hits the house. Both scenarios, whether you follow Jesus or not, have hard things that are going to happen to you. But Jesus says, the one person who's heard what I've said and applied it to their life, they can survive. They can thrive. They can be strong. I'm not going to promise you that from this moment to next Easter is going to be easy. I'm not going to promise that. You're not going to find that in Scripture. But what Jesus says is, if you listen and obey, I can be with you. I can walk with you from now until that next moment. We can do this together. And maybe what's really kind of eating at you is you realize from this past Easter to this Easter, you've been trying to do it all on your own. You've been trying to be good enough. You've been striving. Maybe you think, I've really even had the best of intentions to try to be the best person that I possibly can. And it's eating away at your heart a little bit, and you feel empty, and you feel alone. And Jesus is trying to say to you, that is not the best that I have for you. Come listen, come obey. And many times if you can wonder afar why a guy gets up on the cross, right? I mean, maybe you're not a Christian and you got some real questions. Why would anyone go to the cross? Why would anyone be crucified? I think it's a really good question. And I want to tell you that here at Vertical Church, we're not people who want you to avoid your questions. We want you to ask them. And I think one of the best questions you can ask is, why would Jesus go to the cross? And I want us to look at it. The Bible actually explains it to us. It's Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. These verses, they always get to me. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I remember for years of my life when I wasn't following Jesus, like, I just never cried. Like, I could watch even Rudy, and they could carry him off the field at Notre Dame, and nothing. No tears, no nothing. I started getting closer to Jesus, and I'm like, man, where are these tears coming from? They're happening, and I don't know where they're bubbling up from. And Jesus, like, it's a transformed heart. I'm like, okay, thank you for that. I didn't know that was in the fine print of the contract, but apparently it is. So if I tear up reading Luke 23, I'm willing to try not to, but it just gets me every time. Luke 23, verse 32 says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and they mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said. Since you're under the same sentence, we are punished justly. For we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. I think Luke 23 is one of the most revealing texts we have about Jesus. One of the most revealing things we have about him. He goes to the cross for all of humanity. People who are in sin, and he knows they have no hope of a transformed heart. They have no hope of bearing good fruit if he doesn't do this. And he goes to the cross, and for the people he's dying for, their response is they beat him, they tortured him, they crucified him, and then while he's on the cross, they even insult him and mock him. And his one response to all of it is, Father, forgive them. You want to ask why Easter means so much to Christians? That. Luke 23. That even after all the things I've done wrong, there's a man named Jesus who would look down and say, Father, forgive him. After everything you've done, all your sins, all your mistakes, all the things you try to keep so hidden and deep down because you're ashamed of them, they're not who you want to be. All of that, Jesus says, Father, forgive him. Father, forgive them. If you want life to be different, come next Easter. There's really one sentence that's standing in your way, and it's asking Jesus to forgive you. And it's asking Jesus, won't you come forgive me of the things that I've done, my sin, and transform my heart so I don't have to try to be good enough. I don't have to try to fake it. I don't have to try to strive for this, but I can accept your invitation to come follow you and to listen to the things that you've said and apply them to my life. And so whether you've been coming to church for 60 years or this is your first time ever, I want to ask, what's going to be different come next Easter? What's going to be different next Easter? Is it going to be a year where you've bared good fruit? Is it going to be the year that you've bared the best fruit you ever have? And what's standing in our way is what Jesus taught in Luke 6. Will you listen to what I say and apply it? Will you listen to what I say and apply it? Maybe the thing you need to do this year is get around other people who can help you do that. We have wonderful people leading groups at this church. People who care about you, support you, but you have to show up. You have to be willing to go be a little vulnerable. You have to step out of your comfort zone a little bit. But they're here. And I don't say this to come across harsh. But I say it because I genuinely care about you. We all get one shot at this life. One shot at this life. I'm never going to be 32 years old again. I get one shot at this year. You could be 65, you get one shot at this year. What's going to be different next year? Because I really want it to be your best year of fruit ever. I mean that. But in order for that to happen, it's got to come from a transformed heart. And you got to be willing to ask Jesus, forgive me, come and change me, and make me into who you want me to be. Because Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to be good people. Jesus died on the cross for us to be transformed people. And so if the worship team wants to come back up, I just want to close out and ask, is the first step for you today to give your life to Jesus? All the pain, the sorrow, the loneliness you've walked in with, you know this is not God's best. He's got something different for me. And today, you want to ask Jesus to come into your life and change you and transform you. That can happen today. Maybe you walk in and you go, man, I hadn't thought about it that way, but from last Easter to this Easter, I know I've not lived the way I'm supposed to. And I'm sorry, Jesus, but like I want next year to be different. And I want to take that step. I want to do things differently. I want to listen to you, Jesus, and apply it. Maybe that's what needs to change. But what do you need to do in order to do to bear the best fruit you ever have? And so as we close out the service, that's my question. We're going to sing one song. If you're in Hiawassee, you can come down front and pray with Courtney. If you're here in the gym, I'll be right over there. You can come pray with me. You can be in your seat. Because ultimately, what's going to change your heart is talking with Jesus. And so Jesus, we just ask that you lead us. That you come and you lead us and you guide us. Help us to be people who truly not only hear what you say, but follow it in obedience. But Jesus, also just come and remind us that you love us. Remind us of your character, that you could even be on the cross in physical pain and still look to offer forgiveness, to transform humanity. And I pray for anyone who's walked in and they feel broken, Lord. I feel like everything is just shattered around them. They look at the pieces and they go, how can this ever be put back together? Jesus, won't you just speak right into their life? Remind them that you love them. So Jesus, lead us in this moment. If that's you, you can come over and just see one of us on the side. May the Lord bless you and lead you this coming year, and make it the best year that you've ever had of bearing fruit. In the name of Jesus, we pray and trust. Amen.